ACEC is excited to announce that registration is now open for its fall conference taking place in Marco Island, Florida, this October. That's right, after a year of Zoom and virtual meetings, we're excited to be bringing our fall conference back as an in-person event. And we can't tell you how excited we are to look forward to seeing you there in person for all of the content, networking, and education that the fall conference is known for. Log on to www.acec.org for more information. We can't wait to see you there.
Welcome to the Engineering Influence Podcast, presented by the American Council of Engineering Companies and sponsored by the ACEC Life Health Trust. Since the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic, all of us have spent a lot of our workday in the virtual world, talking to colleagues, clients, and others on Teams, Zoom, WebEx, and others. Many engineering firms now do online client presentations, and they can be quite a challenge because the skills and systems that make for a successful face-to-face presentation don't necessarily transfer to the virtual world. Joey Asher has joined the program to share his insights into how to adapt client presentations to the virtual world. Joey is president of Atlanta-based SpeechWorks, which offers communication and public speaking skills training and coaching to businesses nationwide, focusing on the engineering, architecture, and construction industries. Joey, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Jerry. Happy to be here.
So it seems to me that virtual presentations are here to stay. Not just because of the pandemic, but because of the cost of travel, ease of use, et cetera. What do you think?
I do agree that it's definitely cheaper to do it this way, to have meetings virtually than in person. I do think that we're going to start going back to more in-person stuff. I think there's a lot of value in in-person meetings as well, but I don't think we're going to go completely back. I think it's going to be sort of half and half. You know, I just think that the costs is really, really nice. And I think people have gotten really good at using Zoom and WebEx and all these things so that while it's not as good as in person, it's still pretty doggone good. And especially if people learn how to use it, it can actually be not as good, but it can be a pretty doggone good substitute, especially in terms of the costs.
What makes presenting on a virtual platform so difficult?
Well, there's a barrier. I mean, the biggest challenge is there's a barrier. There's this big, gigantic technological barrier between me and you. Where are you based, Jerry?
I'm in Washington, D.C.
Okay, and I'm in Cold Spring, New York. And so we've got, in addition to I don't know how many hundreds of miles between us, we've got this technological barrier that we've got to traverse. And it's more challenging. It's just not the way that any of us have been trained to communicate. We've been trained and from childhood to make good personal eye contact and connect with people and smile and all this kind of stuff. And when you're doing this on a virtual platform, it's just more challenging.
Yeah, I would say though that, you know, having done this for 18 months or so, it does feel more natural than it did when we first started doing this.
Well, we're all getting better at it. I mean, there's no doubt that we're all getting better at it. I mean, I now know how to use all these different platforms. I mean, when we first started, when COVID first started, what was it, 18 months ago or whenever it was, we had used Zoom a little bit for various things, but it's not like on a daily basis. In the last week alone, I have presented on Zoom, WebEx, Teams. I don't know if you're familiar, there's a platform called BlueJeans that we use a lot for our clients at Georgia Tech. We teach all the MBA students at Georgia Tech. So we use a platform called BlueJeans, not to mention Skype and all these other things. So we're all used to it and they all kind of work the same way with a few little differences, but we've all gotten used to it. So we're better at it.
One thing I have noticed is it feels more arduous to do it on in the virtual world than it does to be face-to-face. Do you think there's a reason for that, or is that just me?
When you say it's more arduous, what do you mean?
It's more exhausting. I find like an hour on Zoom versus an hour in a face-to-face meeting, I'm much more tired after a Zoom meeting.
I think I agree with you on that. I've never really thought that much about that, but I think I agree with you. I mean, you're having, if you want to do Zoom or any of these virtual platforms right, you have to be very focused. And it's just difficult to sort of focus all your energies and your eyes into the Zoom meeting, into the platform. Whereas when you're in a meeting in person, it's just what we're used to. And so we're not having to sort of direct our attention in any conscious way. We're just sort of sitting back and doing it. And it doesn't take any special extra energy just to actually do the meeting. Now, in those meetings, we're just focusing on the issue at hand.
So engineers sort of have a reputation, whether it's fair or not, of not being necessarily the most outgoing people, maybe having weak presentation skills. You know, that they've honed their skills for the face-to-face world. Does the virtual world exaggerate that sort of introverted nature of engineers?
I don't know if it's particular to engineers. I mean, I do think that engineers are naturally a little more introverted. I think, you know, that is coming. My father-in-law was an engineer. I have two sons that are both engineers. So I think that, you know, I think that engineers probably are a little more challenged in this regard, and that, you know, engineers are thinkers. You know, they think and they, you know, they're really smart and they like to think through issues. And so communicating in general is a little more challenging in a virtual environment. I think that just, you know, it just adds another layer of complexity, because in addition to just connecting in general, now we have to connect through all this technology, and we have to connect through all these barriers. So it adds a little, a level of difficulty, I think.
Well, so let's get into the nitty gritty. What are some keys to successfully presenting in the virtual world? How can an engineer, what skills can he take on to do it better?
Well, I think in general, what we have to do when we're in a virtual environment is to remember that this is not in-person communication, and that now we have to really start to think of ourselves as news anchors. One of the things that we often urge our clients to do is to think of ourselves as news anchors. You know, what is a news anchor good at? You think about, I don't know, whoever your favorite news anchor is, Robin Roberts or, I forgot the fellow's name on CNN that everybody likes.
Anderson Cooper.
Anderson Cooper, yes, Anderson Cooper. Whoever it is your favorite news, think about what their core skill is. I mean, they're smart, obviously. But what they're very good at is they're very good at connecting with people through technology. And so if you want to do this well, you have to start to think about, well, what is it that these news anchors are doing well? Well, the first thing that they're doing well is they're making good eye contact. Now, this is a really counterintuitive thing to do in a virtual environment, because if you do what everybody has always told you to do, which is make eye contact with the person in front of you, that translates into lousy eye contact in a virtual environment. Because if I look you directly in the eye on a Zoom call, what that means is I'm actually not looking at your audience. I'm looking at the image, but not the audience. And so if you really want to make good eye contact in a virtual environment, you have to look at the camera lens. And this is counterintuitive, because, well, it's just hard to do. You're looking at a piece of glass, really. You're not looking at a person, you're looking at a piece of glass. But this is what the news anchors are very good at. They are very good at looking into a piece of glass and making it feel like they're talking to you. So when you hear, like, you know, our company, we have a lot of people who work with us. A couple of our coaches are former news anchors. One with the BBC, one with CNN, another was an on-air meteorologist at Weather Channel. And every one of them will tell you the same thing in terms of what they do to connect, which is they look at the camera and they talk to the camera like they're talking to their friend or their brother or their sister or their spouse. And the idea is to look at that camera lens and pretend like you're talking to a person. And that takes practice. And so what we tell people to do to help with that is we'll tell you to take a sticky note, like a post-it note, and put a little smiley face on it and put it right by the camera lens. And that'll be your little reminder to look at the camera lens and talk to them like you're talking to your friend. So that's one thing that is probably the most important thing. And you see a lot of people, it's not just engineers, but a lot of people do make this mistake, which is they're looking down, or sometimes you'll see people have multiple screens and they'll be looking in a completely opposite direction, or their face will be too close. And there'll all be all sorts of mistakes people are making. And so you need to think about, how can I come across as a news anchor? So that's the first thing. The next thing you got to do is you got to just remember that, you know, why does Anderson Cooper or Robin Roberts or whoever it is you like on TV, why do they look good? Well, the reason they look good is they're in a studio and it's well lit and they're framed properly in the camera. And all of these things are factors that most of us just don't really think that much about, but that if you want to come across well on a Zoom meeting or on a WebEx meeting, you have to think about. And one is lighting. I recommend that people get these ring lights that you can get on Amazon for, I think it's like $30 or $40. They're definitely worth it. It makes your face, lights your face up, as opposed to having a lot of shadow across your face. Another great thing that you can do is just to position your computer so that you're facing a window. Usually has really good light, and that's the kind of light that you want on your face. You just don't want to have a shadows on your face, things like that. The next thing is you just want to be properly framed. You see a lot of people with their face too close to the camera. That's no good. You know, you don't want to be too far away either. You sort of want to have your head sort of towards the top of the little square, and you want to see some of your torso, things like that. So those are sort of the things that the news anchors do that the rest of us should start to think about if we want to come across well in a virtual environment.
One that I might add would be, you know, just having some energy. You know, a lot of people on these call on virtual just sort of sit there and it feels kind of dead.
Yeah, now I will tell you, this is not just for a virtual environment. This is for all presenting. The fact of the matter is most of us speak in a business setting with a muted version of ourselves. We sort of lower our energy level in a business setting. A lot of people do this. And so you always want to try to amp the energy up. Now, I will tell you, a lot of people push back when we tell people that they should do this because they say, well, I don't want to come across like a used car salesman or like one of those TV pitchmen. And I don't want you to do that either. But our experience is that if you amp the energy up a little bit, you're usually going to come across well. And you know, if you're skeptical, and I know as engineers, you are skeptical. You should be skeptical. You want to look at the data. Here's some data. Record yourself and try it at different levels. Everybody's got a great camera walking around in their pocket now. Record yourself and just try and see what you look like with extra energy. There's some data right there. You can analyze that and you can say, well, do I look silly? Do I look like a TV pitch man? Do I look like a used car salesman? Or do I just look like an energized person? Most of the time, I think you're going to see that you come across pretty well.
Yeah, I would imagine. I think we all have a vision of ourselves that is skewed until we see ourselves on camera, and then we realize that we actually aren't that person that we think we are.
That's exactly right. Look, engineers love data. All right, there's your data. Record yourself. That's data. Look at your, see what you look like. Get somebody else. Let your wife look at it. Let your husband look at it. Just say, does this look silly? Does this look stupid? Or do I look good? And let them tell you. Don't go by me. Don't go by what anybody else says. But see whether or not if you're coming across seeming like a slug, you're not going to know it until you actually see yourself on camera.
What about hand gestures and stuff like that? Are those good?
Yeah, use your hands. Sure, use your hands. Hands usually help you be more animated. A lot of people say, well, on camera, you know, you shouldn't be animated. You shouldn't have your hands moving. I disagree. I don't think you should be having your hands dart at the camera. I don't think you should have your head sort of like inches away from the camera. But I think moving your hands around is all fine. We don't want to micromanage you. The main thing we want you to do is make good eye contact and just speak with some energy. You know, talk on Zoom like you're talking to your friend. And the fact of the matter is because we're not with our friend, because we are sitting alone in a room, you know, with a camera, speaking to a camera, it's weird. And so we sort of reduce our energy and we sort of pull in, and we, and as I said, we sort of get a muted version of ourselves out there. And what I'm urging people to do is to fight that.
You mentioned being alone in a room. A lot of presentations might require two or more members of a firm to be participating in the presentation. How would you recommend a firm manage that, those logistics?
Well, whenever you have multiple people on a call, it always adds complexity. And so the most important, are you talking about, for example, like if you're doing a pitch and you're doing a pitch for a piece of business?
Exactly, yes.
Yeah, so you got to practice. You got to practice on the technology. This is, I know this is obvious, but it may sound like common sense, but my grandfather used to say, you know, the thing about common sense is that it isn't that common. And the reality is that if you want to do well in any sort of presentation, but in particular in a virtual presentation, you've got to rehearse. You've got to rehearse with the technology, and you've got to see how you come across. Because we have no idea, you know, most people don't know how they come across in an in-person environment. Add on top of it the layer of complexity that Zoom and all this technology adds, is we really have no idea how we come across. And so we really have to rehearse, record it, and look at it and see how we're coming across.
Do you like everyone to be in the same room with one camera, or do you like people to be in separate, have their own camera? In a separate
way
space?
Either way is fine. You know, if everybody's in the same room together, you sort of wonder, well, why are we doing this virtually when we could do it in person anyway? Usually if they're all in the same room, that means that the people's concerns about COVID or whatever are a little bit relaxed. But, you know, I know there are all sorts of reasons that people do things differently. I would in general just say it doesn't matter. Just rehearse. Practice and see how you come across, because, you know, when you have multiple moving parts, what essentially you have is you have a play. It's like producing, you know, the Wizard of Oz, or, you know, or a chorus line, or whatever your favorite play is. It's like producing it. You got, everybody's got their roles and everybody's got their parts and everybody has their lines. And even though it's not quite as rigid as a play, you still have to behave in unison. And if you haven't practiced, you're going to seem like you really haven't thought this through, and you're not going to come across like a team.
What about collateral and special effects and stuff like that? You know, like a PowerPoint presentation or actual handouts. What's the best way to handle all that stuff?
Well, I certainly am not against people using PowerPoint, and sort of my general rules about PowerPoint virtually are the same as in person, in that you should have as little as possible. It doesn't mean you shouldn't have it, but you just need to decide what's the fundamental story we're trying to tell and then come up with slides to illustrate it. I do think in a virtual environment, there's some particular challenges, which are that if I create slides, most of these platforms, the way they work is that I basically share my screen and then my face becomes like a little postage stamp, really, really small. And so it's another barrier to connection. So all of which is just to say is to, if you're going to use slides, just make sure you're getting the bang for your buck out of the slides. There are some tools that we have explored and we use from time to time that allow you to remain on the screen and still have your slides so that you look kind of like a news anchor. If you imagine, like, again, we go back to Anderson Cooper, all those CNN, you see their face and then the slide will appear to their right, you know, to the side. So you look more like a news anchor. There's some platforms out there that allow you to do that that are really not that hard to use. There's one called Prezi Video, which is a really nice platform, which we use. There's another one called, and it's very strange, but I'm going to say it. It's called MHMM, MMHMM app. It's an app. You just go online, look up MMHMM app, and it will take you to a platform that is, does a similar kind of thing. It allows you, the presenter, to stay on screen while at the same time having your slides in the background. Both of them are good. There are a lot of platforms like that out there. So I urge you, if you're doing a lot of these types of things, to consider experimenting with some of those platforms.
And finally, just to sort of flip the script, is there anything that we've learned from video, from the virtual presentations, that will make our in-person presentations better, do you think?
Well, I do think so. I do think that, you know, one of the things that we've learned in terms of doing virtual presentations, like what you and I are doing right now, is the value of a conversation as opposed to a presentation. So what's happening right now is you and I are having a conversation. Now, you know, you gave me this, you know, you gave me the questions in advance. And so I had a sense of what I was going to say. And so we had a little agenda, but, and so we knew we were going to get certain information out there, but we didn't, and you could have said to me, Joey, give a presentation on these five topics. And I could have done that. And it would not nearly have been as interesting as a conversation back and forth like this. All of which is to say that this format is actually a really sort of fun format, and I don't see why it couldn't work in person. And a lot of our clients do it, where instead of giving formal presentations, make it more of a back and forth conversation. I think that that's much more interesting for most people. I don't think most people really like listening to presentations when somebody says, hey, would you like to listen to an hour long presentation with PowerPoint slides? I don't think people say, oh, goody, I can't wait. That's really exciting. Most people just don't enjoy that. And so I think that this, you know, being forced into doing it in a new way has sort of helped us think through some new possibilities.
Oh, great. Well, I think that's a good place to end. I appreciate you taking the time to talk with us.
Well, thank you, Jerry. It's our pleasure.
Yeah. Well, this has been the Engineering Influence Podcast, presented by the American Council of Engineering Companies and sponsored by the ACC Life Health Trust. Thanks for listening.